We have need of patience. For those of you who have been asking God for patience for all of us, you can stop. I say that with tongue in cheek. When I think about this subject and I get to know you and get to know each other even better, we share our lives with each other and the things we struggle. We've got a lot of things going on. A lot of folks that are hurting. A lot of folks that are going through trials of all various kinds. And I hope this lesson can be helpful, not something that would burden you by any means, but will lift you up and realize that you serve a God who cares and that you have been added to a body and are part of a group of people that we ought to care and we ought to do what we just sang, and that's to love one another. We have need of patience. We're understanding that patience comes from the testing of our faith, and it needs to be tested. There is no other way for us to know and to develop the kind of character that we ought to have, including patience. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3 simply says, tribulation produces perseverance or patience. Tribulations, pressures, stresses, afflictions, things that cause us to be anguished and burdened, troubles, and persecution. And we're to face that with patience. Face those things with patience, or the goal is that it develops a hopeful endurance, a constancy about us, a patient continuance. We're not going to give up. In the text, again, in Romans 5 and verse 3, it produces character. Interesting, the word character means to test. The idea of experience or an experiment. God is allowing us to be suffer experiences, go through experiences, having our faith proved or tested. And so we must begin by recognizing the Bible truth that those of us who have been studying James and those of you who have been studying Job understand clearly. We will never know what kind of character we have until it's tested. Trials give the proof of what we're made of. And that's not always an easy result of a test that we want to see, but we need it. I believe the text in James 1 that tells us that we have to face, or we should face with joy, the various trials that come our way. I've got to change my attitude. Change my attitude and the way I think about the trials that I have to endure. Unless our thinking is right, our response will never be right. And so God may send our way things that test our patience because He wants us to grow in our character, and so do we. God allows Satan to take away the hedges. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. I don't know about you, but when I think about the things that, and they're little things. I was talking to one of you just the other day, and it almost seems to me that I get more frustrated with little things than big things, whatever that is. I'm in a hurry. Traffic is bad. I go out to start the car, and there's a dead battery. A flat tire on the way, rain or snow that causes the trip to go slower, other things in our homes, our appliances break, things break down. One older lady said this, and this sounds so simplistic. She said, I've learned that you can tell a lot about a person by the way he or she handles three things. Number one, a rainy day. Two, lost luggage. And third, tangled Christmas tree lights. Yes. I think every year I'm putting them back in the box so next year they will unravel correctly. Wrong. Something gets in the box during the 7 months, 11 months, and just tangles them. And I'm thinking, I'm not doing this anymore. You know, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays when I'm trying to get those lights on the tree. Now that sounds pretty trivial. I know that. Does that happen to you? I think on the bigger scale is having plans. I think that's a challenge. We plan out things I want to do. It's about 11 years ago, 10 years ago, and the December trip we've been taking for 30 years now, and we had some things come up, and a couple of our older sisters at Hillview had passed away. They passed away on like Monday and Tuesday of the week, and I was asked to participate in the funerals, and obviously I'm not going to say no. And so we had to cancel the trip for that week. And I remember not, you know, particularly being happy about that. And that's a wrong, to me, it's a selfish response, perhaps. But tests and trials do come at the most unexpected times. One brother said, and this sounds uncaring, but he says, people die at the most inconvenient times. There's interruptions in our plans and our schedules. We get frustrated and even angry when things that we have planned to do don't happen. What's the answer to that? Do we need to slow down? Do we need to look for opportunities to do good when things go bad? I've got a couple of quotes I'm going to use in this lesson. I don't want to use a lot of them, but I think there's some good things that I've read and you've read. Patience is the ability to put our desires on hold for a time, where I'm willing to say, okay. And again, some of these illustrations I've used are trivial to the things that many of you are going through that I have to set aside. This is what I plan to do. That's not what's going to happen. This is what's happened. This is the circumstances I need to deal with. What good can I do in these circumstances? That's raising the spiritual mindedness in our hearts to a higher level. I encourage you to do that. Think about that with me. But not only that, and this is the challenge of James chapter 1, counting it all joy when we fall into divers temptations. It doesn't mean it's fun. It doesn't mean it feels good, Hebrews chapter 12. But as one author said, it's one thing to submit to or endure tribulation without complaint, but it is another to find ground for glorying in the midst of them, as Paul exhorts us to do in Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. It is glorying or rejoicing the opportunity to glorify God by demonstrating our character in the midst of the trials. Does that make sense? Is that what I want? Is that what I want? And when I want that, it changes my thinking. Doesn't mean it doesn't hurt, and especially when they're really test us, and we'll talk about that some more in just a moment. We need to learn to rejoice. We need to recognize our hurried lives are going to be interrupted and to find the good that we can do. In our Bible class this morning, we looked at James chapter 5 and hurried through it just a little bit as we tried to cover the entire fifth chapter in our Bible class this morning. But I want to look back at this and just look at the different phrases found in this particular text that we are encouraged to put on the quality of patience. James chapter 5, in verse 7 beginning. Can I be candid with you? Did I tell you that my Bible I use is in a rental car? Or was? Bessie said, you have a hard time reading that? She said, yeah, this is small print. And even with reading glasses. Anyway, sorry about that. It was in the rental car, but my kids got it out before they took the rental car back. But anyway, it's in Alabama. All right. Can't wait to get it back. See, it really helps to be in the right book. See, you know, that just really helped. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the cut. It's not that funny. Until the coming of the Lord. All right, let's get serious. I appreciate it. Sometimes you got to laugh. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. Be patient. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until he receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You've heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. How many times can the Lord say patient one task? So it's important. It's important. The word's translated patience here to be long-spirited, to be forbearing, to be long-suffering, to have long patience, to patiently endure is the idea here. And one of the things that may test us is patience with people. Patience with other drivers that I am convinced they have gotten on the road exactly when I have gotten on the road just to irritate me. Little things. But waiters, cashiers, nurses and doctors, that all bedside manner isn't always what we want it to be and wish it was. Co-workers, family. Brothers and sisters in Christ. We're a group of people of about 200 people. And there are all levels of spiritual maturity among us. And sometimes we just act in immature ways. We act in faultless ways. How do we handle that? Like what my brother D. Bowman said years ago, some of us not only don't suffer long, we don't even suffer short. So we do demonstrate patience. And it comes out in the way we speak and talk and act around them. But it's going to happen. And sometimes it helps to remember, I've been that person. I've been the person that's done something that's caused somebody else to, their patience is being tested by me. And that helps humble us because, you know, we can't go around being upset at everybody else who's testing my patience. I've got to stop and realize how many others am I testing theirs. The people were teaching. One of the challenges of studying the Bible with folks and one-on-one is hopeful and excited and thinking that they're going to open their hearts to the truth and someday they're going to see it and they're going to obey the gospel. And you study with some and they just don't seem to get it. And you're about ready to give up. I studied with a man for 2 years once. And at the end of that, I was fairly convinced that he wasn't any closer than he was when I first started. I think he probably was more. I got impatient with it. And I decided that I'd done all that I could. The good news is, after I had moved from that place, years later, somebody else came in and taught him to obey the gospel. Maybe it had done some good. They can't see it. Want the seed to grow and want it to grow right now. I'm looking in 2 Timothy chapter 2, down in verse 24. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil. And that's interesting. The ESV translate this correctly. Think about this. I don't know that I've ever been treated evil by someone that I was trying to teach. And this says, you're trying to teach them and they turn on you. Well, maybe there's some occasions when I've had to point out some truth to some individual and they don't like it. It upsets them and they may not treat me evil, but they may be done with me. And so the passage here is telling us, how patient am I in teaching? This is a passage directly to me as a gospel preacher, the willingness to endure ill, and Jesus set the grand example for us to do that. I want to say something here. Patience without grumbling. And we talked in our Bible class, what's the difference? Complaining and griping or murmuring. Because all of us admit that there are times that we do seem to do that. We say things and we catch ourselves and we say something like, well, I know I shouldn't be complaining. I want to show you something in 2 Corinthians 2, not to justify grumbling that either is unacceptable or goes too far, but the very same Greek word translated grumbling in James chapter 5 is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I want you to notice something in this passage. I'm going to read verse 1 beginning, but 2 and 4 is what I'm looking for. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, underline groan, same word, grumbling, James chapter 5. No reproof for the groaning that takes place in this passage. Longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked, for while we were still in this tent, this body, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. And he goes on, and that's our hope of someday this tent being put off. I stop to say this in this passage. For someone to talk about what's ailing them, the physical hurts that become more real as we get older, that's okay. Don't beat yourself up over that. If someone says, how are you doing? I said, I'm okay, but I've got this pain or that. And you don't take it too far, you don't carry it out too long, but you just express that and you may ask for a prayer and somebody says, what kind of help are you getting? I know that the joke over the years is that there are some folks you don't dare ask them how they're doing, because you're going to get a whole long history of their health. And maybe that's when it becomes grumbling or complaining. But when you're being tested, when there are trials going on in your life, and you want to be able to share those with someone, to have somebody listen, to know and to pray, that is not the grumbling that we're talking about. That's okay. We need to be able to do that. It's only expected that times we hurt and we cry and we grieve. Read Jeremiah and Lamentations. Those of you who study Job, after chapters 1 and 2 take place, Job bemoaned the day that he was born. And I don't believe Job was sinning in chapter 3. Somewhere down the line, he crossed the line with God. And we've all know, you know the story, and some of you have studied it this quarter, know very well. Have you ever lost 10 children all at one time? With the tornadoes that have gone through the South recently, I suppose for Betsy and I will always remind us of 2011 when the tornado went through Tuscaloosa. And Ryan and Amanda were not married yet or dating, and they and a couple other couples and some friends huddled in a laundry room about a block off the main drag. We had no phone contact for an hour. But Amanda's roommates, Marcus Smith, was found 4 days later. He had not survived. It hurt them. It hurt us. And the family, to think about just losing one in a tornado. Last March, a tornado came through Nashville, and either the same one or another one proceeded to further east through Cookeville area in Putnam County. And when it went through there, it wiped out a subdivision. And there's a fellow that preaches there named Rodney Pitts. And some of the folks at Hillview knew him or know him. And ironically, as I was studying James, I found this Focus magazine, which the theme was the study of James. And Rodney had written about the section of James, James 4:13 through James 5:11, including the end of chapter 4, as just noted, and that text that talks about making plans and saying the Lord will do this or that. And Rodney wrote in this particular article, "You do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life?" He's quoting the text at that point. "And even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away." And then Rodney went on to write, "Physical life and the factors that affect it are so uncertain that no man can anticipate what will happen tomorrow, much less next week or next year. Our observance of history's record of peace and health today, with war and death tomorrow, should bear this out." And he goes on to say some things about, we just don't know. It was written in 2008. 2006 was when this particular issue came out. It was a tough time to learn that his daughter and son-in-law and little grandson were taken away by that tornado and were killed. And I say that because, you know, those are hard things. We have a dear friend that had a little girl, 10, 11 years old. She had a tractor with a bush hog on the back of it, a small one mowing her yard. And she's going to live with this the rest of her life, and people may ask whether this is safe or not, but she had the little girl sitting next to her, and she fell off the back. And she wasn't able to stop the tractor and fast enough. To this day, I remember their father saying they were thankful when they found the little girl. She was laying on the side that had been taken with the bush hog, but the side that had not been was left facing out. She died instantly. How do you get through that? And you have stories. And I don't think we just tell these stories to try to one-up others, and I don't think it always helps to tell somebody other people have been through worse things. But when you study Job, you certainly are looking at a story of a man who all of the things he went through, it's okay to groan. I'll tell you something embarrassing for me. It was probably about 2 years later. I saw Holly. They live in the Florence, Alabama area, and we were talking. She asked me something, and I remember I complained about something. I don't remember what it was. She asked me how I was doing, and she graciously listened. And I remember walking away, and it was moments later that I thought, do you know who you were talking to? But isn't that gracious? Friday morning said, I just got a text from Allison Walker telling me, encouraging her as we spend our first Christmas without our mom. And here's a woman that has pancreatic cancer and is struggling mightily. Those are people who find the ability to encourage others in the face of trials. I say all of that, I use those illustrations simply to say this. No, I think we ought to stop complaining about the traffic and the battery's dead and if the Christmas tree lights are tangled. But when people go through things like this, and people are going through the difficulties, and brothers and sisters and children that aren't faithful, I think Job was mightily concerned about his children. He offered sacrifices for them as they met together, each on their day. I don't know what that means, maybe a birthday. And they celebrated, and there was wine a part of the party. Maybe more than anything else, when they died, he was concerned about their faithfulness. It's one thing to have a child die, and another thing to have a child die, and you don't know if they're saved or not. It's okay to groan. How do we treat one another when we're going through the trials? We talked about this morning. When the pressure is on, We shouldn't become hateful and bitter and envy and resentful and angry. We get gripey about little things. Joyce Meyer said, patience is not the ability to wait, but how you act while you're waiting. I think that's well said. A moment of patience is a moment of, in a moment of anger, saves 100 moments of regret. How many of us wish we had thought about that? The times when we have reacted in ways that were not helpful. So I want to say something to us. These are when I look at this passage and not grumbling against one another, these are the times we need each other. And sometimes more than others. Hebrews 12:12, lift up your drooping hands, strengthen your weak knees. Encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Sometimes it's just a listening ear or sitting in silence. We thank God we have one another. And in my understanding, when we ask God to be comfort us, sometimes the way He does that is through me and you. So let's think about a few things here at the end of the lesson. Just pray for one another. Paul said, I'm praying that you may be strengthened for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Pray for each other. That's encouraging. Send a text. I'm praying for you. Little things. We're patient in tribulations. The example of Paul. And who knew any better what it meant to be troubled and go through trials? In 2 Corinthians 6:4-5, he described the patience that he saw him through all of that. 2 Thessalonians 1:4, do something that causes other people to boast of your perseverance. I've just told some stories. I don't know that I would tell those stories if those people were in the audience. It might bring back the memories. I've got folks here already that have stories. And so when I hold a meeting somewhere else, I may be telling your story. Because it's worthy of being boasted about, gloried. Your example can be an encouragement to others. So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Keep looking to Jesus, if nothing else. I'm not sure that sounded the way I wanted to say that. We encourage each other. But on those days when you don't think you're being encouraged by anyone, stop and talk to Him. Stop and think about Him. Stop and look to Him. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance. It's a marathon, not a 100-meter sprint. Run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured from sinners and such hostility against Himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggles against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Sometimes it does happen. To be reminded, I haven't had to do that yet. So help me to deal with what I'm facing now. Look to Jesus. He cares about us. He's not going to belittle us. He's there for us no matter what it is we're going through, helping us along. Sometimes saying, you know, there may be tougher things to come, but I'm here with you. I'm going to help you through. I close tonight with Philippians chapter 2. I've enjoyed the theme. This gives me opportunity just to simply close my preaching for this year and touching on the theme by looking at Philippians chapter 2. 14 through 15. Philippians chapter 2, 14 and 15. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Pretty simple. Said, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse or twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Whatever we've had to face together in the last couple of years in dealing with the pandemic and political strife and racial strife, things in the news, I hope even in this time we've let our light shine. And our love and compassion and concern, our opinions as strong as they may be in trying to handle them in a kind and gracious and patient kind of way. But this is our chance. This is our time. It shines lights in the world. And let's please, please help each other do that. Let's hold each other up. If your light's beginning to flicker, lean your light over next to it. Hold the torch over there. Build it up some. And let's help each other hold our hands up with the lights in our hands so we can be the people God wants us to be. Thank you for helping me, and I hope I can learn to help you even better. Well, we have need of patience, and God will help us as He allows us to be tested. I surrender all. What a challenge. And we'll do that even in trials, becoming the people God wants us to be. Can we help you? If you're not a Christian, we'd love to help. Let us know how we can help, please. If you'd like to come and let us know during the invitation song, that'd be great. If not, that'd be great too if you just let us know afterwards. Appreciate you. Let's listen to the Lord and sing to each other as we sing this song as we stand, Sammy Legion.